So I've already performed the ceremonial closing of the blinds in the studio. Even though it's a gorgeous day, it's very pretty.
Do we have any ceremonial celebratory music for the event?
I like,
like we had last week?
I like just darkness in the room when it
goes right along with.
I don't want the sunshine to cheer me up.
It goes right along with your personality.
No, you know what it is? I would love to have the blinds open, but the sun reflects on all of the TV monitors.
Well, the sun really was very bright this morning, and the reflection off the lake was very bright.
Oh, my eyes. It was very bright when I walked in here.
You were blinded by the light?
Blinded by the light.
Which version do you want to sing?
Right.
Yes.
Probably safer to sing the Bruce Springsteen version.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Have we been seeing airplanes going by?
Not yet.
Not today, but how about yesterday?
Oh, yesterday and Friday especially, because I was on Lakeshore Drive when they were practicing.
None by the window, though? Didn't we have something go right by the window last year?
We had something go along the river. Yes, we did.
Another reason I want to keep the blinds closed. I don't want to see any pilots' faces going by.
It was a big helicopter, wasn't it?
It was a big helicopter.
A movie, wasn't it?
Went right along the river, right out toward the lake. It was amazing.
Scared me. Scared.
Aww.
That never happened when we used to be in the old dump on Michigan Avenue.
If it did, we'd have a story to tell.
We would.
Only thing we ever had fly by the window there were people with their pants pulled down. Thinking they were the first one to ever do that.
Well, do you remember when they were making one of those, movies of death and destruction? What was it? The one that was closed off Michigan Avenue.
On Michigan Avenue?
Yeah.
Transformers.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and literally, I'm not kidding, literally, taxi cabs were flying by the window.
Yes.
They were blowing up. They had both sides of the bridge, the Michigan Avenue Bridge, were up, and they were flying cars over it, and then they were blowing up cars, and I'm sitting here talking. It's like, hey, it's all right, well, what's new in theater this week? And a taxi cab flies across the window.
Anyone call for a cab?
No wonder I can't get a cab around here. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to airplanes flying by.
We'll have them fairly shortly.
Yeah, I can't wait. Oh, wait a minute.
Hey.
Hey, you're going to hear that sound effect a lot today.
Shwani was looking out the window.
It
sounds real, though.
It really does, yes.
Yeah, I can just turn it off.
We will have a...
Turn it off. Turn it off. Take that, Blue Angels. Turn it off. Turn it off. Oh, 15 seconds and it's already annoying.
We'll have a story a little later this morning about a group that was tried to enter the Air and Water Show and was later disqualified.
What do you mean?
Uh-oh. Well, we'll have the story later about this.
Well, what if I can't listen later?
What do you mean you can't listen later?
What if I'm busy?
Can I ask a question? Was it a group of three?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of have an idea who it might have been.
Andy knows the story.
Yes, there were three that tried and were later disqualified. We will have more information.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, Dave and Andy know what this is.
You know what it is, too.
None of the rest of us know what this is.
All right, you want the story now?
Yeah.
Oh, you do want the story now.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? We're busy here on Sunday morning. People have things to do. They have places to go.
Can't have people sitting in the parking lots waiting for us to do our thing and go shopping.
Right. Not everyone can sit in their car in the Costco parking lot like last week and listen to the show. As attractive as that sounds.
Well, there was a group of three gentlemen that were trying to enter the Air and Water Show and were subsequently disqualified for various reasons. Hmm. They were known as the Wrong Brothers.
Oh, now I know.
And there was some play-by-play.
You don't need to tell us.
There was some pre-play-by-play
going on.
Really,
if you want to do this later, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, all right, we'll wait then.
That's a waiting attraction.
Go ahead.
They were subsequently disqualified.
Hey, knuckleheads, we're flying.
See, and here is a little bit of the
Sightney.
Here was a little bit of the play by play that went on.
Oh, this is actual play by play.
This is play by play of their qualifications.
I wonder what that sounded like.
They're either miracle men or they're insane.
There they go.
There they go. And now, sound from the cockpit.
What was that?
That isn't anything. Just some little old wire broke loose from some little old lever.
That was our rudder, you idiot. Now we can't get our plane where we want it to go. We're losing altitude. We gotta get rid of some weight.
What are you looking at me for?
Well, as you can see, they were kind of losing altitude very quickly and thus were disqualified from this year's Air and Water Show. It happens every year, by the way.
I was
going to
say, they were disqualified last year and the year before.
Yes, they were. It happens every year.
And to think I had the chance to hear that later when I could have not paid one bit of attention. Red Hot Chili Peppers starting things off today. Apparently, they're going to be on the closing ceremonies of the Olympics tonight. Going to be part of the festivities. They, along with Billie Eilish and Snoop Dogg. How entertaining has Snoop Dogg been during the Olympics, by the way?
Well, he's been visible. Let's put it to you that way. You can't avoid him.
He's on a lot.
Yes, he is.
But I find it very amusing.
Oh, he's funny.
And apparently, he's actually going to perform, which... he's been doing everything else.
Yeah, why not, right?
Why not perform also? And I guess Tom Cruise is going to be doing some parachute jumps or some kind of, you know, like the stuff that he likes to do in his movies, the stunts that he does. Apparently, he's going to do something like that, both in Paris and then in a pre-taped segment. He's going to do something in Los Angeles where he lands on the Hollywood sign in Los Angeles.
Because he's going to land on the sign?
I don't know if it's going to be on the sign or near the sign, or it's going to be something like the Olympics, Summer Olympics next will be in Los Angeles, signifying that.
Passing of the parachute.
Passing of the parachute.
Yep.
How cool would it be if he jumped out of an airplane with the torch and takes the torch to Los Angeles like that, out of a parachute?
Be interesting.
Yeah. I like Tom Cruise stunts. People are very polarized about Tom Cruise because he has done some nutty things through the years. But I think he's, number one, I think he's a fantastic actor. Number two, he's fearless with all of the stunts and things that he does. And I've interviewed him many, many, many times. Always couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be a nicer gentleman.
I'm sure he's had a great deal of training, though, from stunt professionals
before
he starts doing all of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's talked to me about that. He doesn't just, you know, jump out of an airplane for no reason. and, you know, some of the things that he's done. He's jumped off the world's tallest buildings. Done these motorcycle stunts on the highest mountains. It's all with tons of preparation that he does. But a lot of people wouldn't do it in the first place, so he likes to do it himself.
Have you ever thought about doing it?
Yeah, I've thought of it.
That's then, as far as it went.
And came to the conclusion within 2 seconds that that will never happen. Have you ever skydived, either of
no.
you?
No.
No. I would never jump out. I remember Bob Collins, the late, great Bob Collins, jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
Exactly.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah, I would never do that, even with all the training in the world. And people say that it's exhilarating. It's an experience you'll never, you know, nothing will ever match it, blah, blah, blah. I'm perfectly fine on the ground.
They showed video of Sean Lewis from WGN-TV jumping out of a plane with help, though, with assistance.
In tandem?
Yeah, in tandem with some of the U.S. Army paratroopers.
But, well, every year for the air show, they offer opportunities to local press to, you know, to do that sort of thing so they can do their story of...
Mm-hmm.
How the Blue Angels tried to turn them upside down and make them throw up.
Again, I would love to see you in one of those planes doing that. Wouldn't you want to do a...
I could stand on the ground and throw up. Given the right circumstances.
It wouldn't take much.
I've done it many times. I'm not a roller coaster rider. I'm not a thrill seeker. I'm not that guy. I'm not a danger. I don't go where danger goes. I know a lot of people love it. I perfectly fine staying on the ground. When we take my niece, you know, back in the day when my nieces and nephews were little, we take them to Great America or, you know, whatever. And, I'll let the other uncles take them on their roller coasters, and I would stay on the ground and hold the coats.
Yeah, that's where I experienced my first roller coaster. My cousins came in from Milwaukee, and my youngest cousin at the time, I think, was 8 or 9. And he says, hey, come on, we're going to go on this one together, right? I'm like, okay, sure. And I did it because I didn't want to look like a little chicken in front of him.
And?
We both actually enjoyed it. He was a little nervous, too. Oh, he didn't want to tell me that. We actually liked it.
So now do you go on the rides?
I don't go out of my way to find them, but if they're there, I would go on it.
You would go on.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I forget what the ride was or where we were. It really doesn't matter. It was some ride that normally I would take a pass on because I just don't find the enjoyment in it. But my little niece at the time was maybe 4 years old. And I said, I'm not going to go. I'll stay here. And my little niece, like, tugs on my shirt and goes, Uncle Dean, don't be scared.
Aww.
Great.
Oh, it's terrific. Now I got to go.
Shame by a 4-year-old. I did go on it and hated it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did not like it. But, every year they take local media, you know, for these rides. They parachute out. Remember a couple of years ago, Vince Vaughn?
Oh, yeah. Did he jump out of the plane?
He jumped out of a plane in tandem, did the parachute, and then came over to our studio to talk about it. Came right over to Michigan Avenue and talked about it, still white as a ghost.
Yeah. And then there was the year he did the polar plunge and came over.
Oh, right.
Yeah. As he was an ice cube that walked into the showcase studio.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I would head right to the hotel. He was nice enough to stop by each time. Somebody texts in and reminds me that Jackie Bang from WGN News, she's jumped out of, parachuted out of planes many, many, many times.
Yeah, she does it on purpose.
She likes it. You know? I don't get that. But, hey, you know what? To each their own.
Exactly.
To each their own.
The line will be shorter because I won't be in it.
That makes two of us.
I have found while they're out on the roller coasters that I have plenty of time to go eat stuff that I probably shouldn't be eating. Like, oh, they're on there. I'm going to go get a hot dog.
While they're over there on roller coasters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gilda, my girlfriend, got me involved with rides at a place when we were on vacation at Rehoboth Beach a couple years ago. Right. And it was fun.
Where you got plenty of free stuff.
No, I didn't get free stuff.
They cleared the line for him.
But like, she wanted to go on a couple of rides, and we enjoyed it very much.
Like what?
One of them was one
tunnel
of these...
Tunnel of Love?
No. It was one of these big swing things where you're up in the air. And is that what it is?
I don't know.
What's it called?
Oh, the teacups where you turn around. Yeah. No, we did.
I'm getting nauseous.
Giant swing deal, and then a helicopter ride where you go up and you know you go down.
Actual helicopter?
No. It was one of those on a pole. On they spin around and then they go up and they go down. It was fun. It was fun.
See, we were
once I got involved.
We were in Vegas a couple.
I have video of the occasion too.
We were in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and we were driving by the Stratosphere at the very north end of the Strip.
That's crazy.
And they had that spire at the top, and there's a ride on that spire where you go up and down, up and down. Oh, my. I was looking at it from the highway getting sick.
Yeah. There's no way.
No dice.
Yeah. I know people love it. God bless you for that.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Perfectly fine on the ground eating a hot dog.
I'll wait for the bumper cars.
No, we had an amusement park close to where I grew
up. Excuse me, sir. Where is the Tunnel of Love? Yes, I am by myself. What's the problem?
No, we had a roller coaster in an amusement park close to where I grew up, which was tame by comparison with what you see now. And many years ago, I was at Six Flags in Texas and got on a roller coaster there. And boy, you know, the seatbelt was permanently crinkled after me holding on to it. It was a white knuckle ride.
And my dad,
scared to death.
Continues to regale us with stories about Riverview and the Bobs.
Yep.
Yeah. And I drive by that intersection all the time thinking, wait a minute, there was an amusement park here?
Yes, there was.
Where the police communication tower is at the corner of Belmont and Western.
Right.
Is where there used to be a ride called Shoot the Chutes.
Oh, yeah. He told us about that one, too.
And you sit on, you know how if you go to a park and they have a swing and it's just a canvas thing that you sit on?
Mm-hmm.
Holding, you would sit on a canvas thing like that, you and your ride mate, and they pull you up in the air. You know, you're just holding on. You're sitting on this canvas thing. There's very little to hold you there. They take you up a certain distance and then drop you, and a parachute would open, and you'd parachute on down.
Yeah.
Never went on that.
All good.
Yeah.
We went on rides at Riverview. The last year Riverview was open, was there, and went down that big water chute.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
What was that called?
A water chute.
It's not called a water chute. You're called a water chute. We'll get to the week in health coming up in just a moment. We've got a sleep expert who's going to join us today. A correction about the rides at Riverview. I had said that parachute ride. I gave the wrong name for that parachute ride. It was actually called Pair-O-Chutes. Get it?
Pair-O-Chutes.
Pair-O-Chutes.
Ah.
Same concept, though. You'd sit on this cheesy little swing, and they pull you up in the air and drop you and parachute you down. Same deal. The Shoot the Chutes. That was the name of the water ride.
The water ride? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shoot the Chutes.
I just thought it was a water chute.
Yeah. Shoot the Chutes.
Okay.
And they had this thing called the rotor. Remember that?
No, I don't remember the rotor.
The rotor was
the bump of cars, I remember.
Cylindrical thing that you stood in, and it started going around so fast.
Oh, and you tried to walk through it.
Well, the centrifugal force would push you up against the wall, and they dropped the floor.
Right.
So,
I have a memory of trying to do that, actually.
Yeah. I tried all those things when I was little. You know, I was the youngest of four boys, so they're like, come on, you got to do it. Try it. Do it. Do it. So I did and hated it every time. And then at some point, it's like, I hate this. I'm not doing this anymore.
These were the brothers that left you alone in the movie
ditched
theater.
Ditched me constantly. It's why I am the way I am today. America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. Our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. Strap yourself in like you would on a roller coaster ride. Here is today's installment with Dave Schwann.
Boy, the introduction there confused me a little bit about a wild world and everything. What was going on there?
Yeah, that's a little confusing.
Well, this won't be confusing, but thank you very much, Dean. Good morning, and get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We head east to Lewis, Delaware. Lewis, Delaware. Now, you might think it would be spelled L-O-U-I-S.
That's what I would think.
But it isn't. Hmm. It's spelled L-E-W-E-S.
Ooh, E-S.
Lewis. It would look like Lewes or Lewes.
Yes.
But it's Lewis, Delaware, which was founded in 1631, named for Lewis in England. And it became the first settlement on what became the state of Delaware. And their motto is the first town in the first state, because Delaware was the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. Lewis, Delaware is a charming place. Gilda and I were visiting there on vacation the week before last.
There?
No, we didn't get any free stuff. It is near a town that...
Do you have a thimble with it?
Are you done?
Lewis?
Are you through?
A teaspoon?
I stole the glass from the hotel.
The matches.
Oh, man. Shower cap.
Lewis, Delaware is almost adjacent to a town that has often been in the news here recently, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, home, a summer home of Joe and Jill Biden, who we did not see on the vacation, but we went through Lewis. It's a wonderful place on Delaware Bay, and by the way, Delaware is named for a British nobleman, John Delaware.
Ooh.
That's where the name Delaware comes from, but in Lewis, Delaware, a wonderful place to visit. It is partly sunny and 74 today.
That's fancy. Very fancy.
Lewis, Delaware.
L-E-W-E-S.
L-E-W-E-S. Lewis, Delaware.
Yeah. Well, if anyone from Lewis, Delaware is listening today, you can send the payola to Schwanny.
Here. Get him a t-shirt or something.
303 East Wacker Drive. Hopefully you did rest your bones well last night. But the CDC reports 14.5% of us had trouble falling asleep and do most days. The percentage of adults who have trouble staying asleep increased as family income decreases and as a place of residence becomes more rural. Some very interesting facts about sleep or the lack thereof. I think a lot of people have trouble getting a proper night's sleep. So I thought on this week's Weekend Health segment, we would talk about the sleep. And Dr. Phyllis Zee is joining us today. Dr. Zee is the chief of sleep medicine at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Dr. Zee, thank you very much for joining us. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, I mean, are you seeing that more and more people are having trouble just getting a good old night's sleep?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is part of the reason why our clinic is so busy, is that there's especially, I think, you know, even during and certainly after the pandemic, there's an increasing across not just the United States, but really across the world, increasing number of individuals who have difficulty falling asleep, and as we get older, also difficulty staying asleep.
Why is it that as we get older, that becomes a problem? I remember my grandmother saying that she just couldn't sleep more than a couple of hours anymore as she got into her later years.
Yes, as we get older, we have more medical and psychiatric conditions, right, which can negatively affect sleep, but also just with healthy aging, our sleep patterns change so that there's more fragmentation of your sleep, really more difficulty maintaining sleep after the first 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Some of that, you know, in women during menopause, that could be hormonal changes that are occurring. And also just our lifestyle. Maybe we're not exercising as much and not getting enough light during the day. All of those things can affect your sleep. Not to mention that your clock, your biological clock as you get older, also gets a little bit earlier. So what we call advances a bit. And that can predispose people, older adults, to waking up earlier than they would want to.
That's very interesting. The CDC finding that the changing of the environment could have an effect on that. Do you find that as well, that the environment has an effect on people's sleep habits?
Yes, the environment can, especially if, you know, with global warming, having to sleep in warmer temperatures, especially indoors, and for that matter, your outdoor temperature, because we tend to sleep better when the temperature, the ambient temperature, is cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So that can certainly affect if you don't have air conditioning, for example, and or you're living, you know, your bedroom is near the attic, for example, it does get quite warm. And there is data, there's evidence that with global warming, that there is also a increase in sleep, a poor sleep quality.
Yeah, I would imagine also that what's the best way to put this? Your emotions, your home environment, your work environment, stress, having things on your mind in this world in which we're living now that's so crazy that people have so much going on in their minds that it's very difficult to get into a comfortable sleep pattern.
You're absolutely right. I think that the not just the environment, you know, we also have more light during the night. We have all our, you know, phones and all our wearables. You know, that can also affect your sleep. But clearly, you know, the environment, your work schedule, the stress. So we tend to think of sleep not just as a trouble sleeping, but it's really a 24-hour problem. Like you said, it starts from the day, right, from the time you wake up. The stressors, our ability and our inability to deal with all of that gets then taken into the night, and then we can't shut our minds down during the night when we're trying to get to sleep, and or we worry about things as we're going into sleep with things that we have to do the next day that will probably wake us up in the middle of the night.
Sleep apnea is something that you hear more and more about every day, where people aren't breathing properly while they're sleeping and they're forced to wear these horrible masks. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea and tried the mask, and it actually made my sleep worse with this big contraption on my face. I'm told that things are a little bit better now, so I'm supposed to come into your lab for a sleep test to get that checked out.
Right.
But talk about that. I mean, that's also a problem, it seems, more and more now, isn't it? Sleep apnea.
Absolutely. I think that anyone who has difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, just don't toss it up to, you know, I just have insomnia, which is really important, but it could be also a sign of sleep apnea. Oftentimes, it starts with a loud snoring, but it is really an important condition to diagnose and to effectively treat, because it is a very important risk factor for heart disease, for high blood pressure, diabetes, and for that matter, even now, recent data shows that it's a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. So it's really important to get that treated. And it's quite common, especially as we get into the middle age and into older age.
Yeah. Is it still that big contraption that you have to strap onto your face? Or have they made some improvements with that?
Yeah, it really does depend a couple of things. You know, of course, patient preference, but also importantly, how severe your sleep apnea is. If it's very severe, if it's, you know, your oxygen is going down, you know, a lot during the night, then CPAP, which is the contraption that you talked about, would be the first line of therapy, because we know that when properly used and effective, it can be very effective in pretty much getting rid of the apnea events that you have during the night. But there are other treatments that have evolved in the last several years. One is if you have mild sleep apnea, the oral appliance, something that your dentist can fit you for, can also be useful. Right? So that, especially if you have a lot of difficulty sleeping while you're on your back, that can be helpful. And then there's surgery, right? There's surgical approaches, such as this stimulator, the electrical stimulator to your tongue, which then works during the night, and it prevents this opening. It increases the opening of your upper airway. So that's called the Inspire device. So that's something that has become available in the last, you know, 5 or plus years, a little more popular. But that is if you failed, right, CPAP. And it's really important that, like you, come into, you know, talk to some sleep experts and try to figure out why it is uncomfortable, why it is not working, because there are many things that one can do to make that mask more comfortable. And also there are many, many different kinds of masks now on the market that would be more reasonable and, you know, more comfortable for each of the individuals. And that will differ between people.
Yeah, well, I'll take care of that in coming days for myself. But in the meantime, 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Dr. Phyllis Zee is the chief of sleep medicine at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. 312-981-7200. So, you know, we talked about many of the reasons that people are not sleeping well. What can they do to improve their sleep?
Yes, if it's a chronic problem, you should of course see your doctor and inform them about your sleep issue, because sleep could be also a symptom of maybe an underlying condition, such as maybe you have sleep apnea, maybe your blood pressure is too high. But having said that, I think all of us can improve our sleep by changing our environment. If it's too hot, keeping our rooms dark, cool as much as possible. And during the day, get bright light in the morning, like today. Go out, take a walk in the morning if you can. Regular exercise at the same time of day. And try to keep your sleep-wake times around the same time every day. So don't deviate much more than 1 hour during your work days, for example, when you go to bed and when you wake up, and certainly not more than 2 hours during the weekends or days off, because that regularity has been shown to be quite important to maintaining good sleep.
Yeah, naps are fantastic in the middle of the day, but do they disrupt your sleep at night?
Well, there's a good and the bad of napping. You're absolutely right. Napping can be refreshing. If you plan the nap, if this is something that you're planning and saying, well, I'm going to take a 20-minute or 15 or 30-minute shut-eye and relax during the day, that's great. That's been shown to be beneficial, especially for older adults, and it does not seem to interfere with your sleep. However, if you're napping because you're so exhausted, you're so sleepy because you're sleep-deprived continuously, that is a sign that you're sleep-deprived, and therefore you should try to get more sleep during the night. And, of course, sleep disorders can play a role in that. If you have insomnia and you have difficulty falling asleep during the night, then a nap may actually decrease your ability to fall asleep. So it really does depend on the individual. But generally, yeah, a bit of a shut-eye in the middle of the afternoon can be useful.
What about eating your dinner and then going to sleep? Does the time between dinner and bedtime make any difference on whether or not you're going to get a good night's sleep?
Yes, it can. And my rule of thumb is dim your lights out 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed, and also stop eating 3 hours before your bedtime.
Because your digestive system is working and keeping you awake while you're trying to go to sleep?
Yeah, well, it could be your digestive system, but more importantly, your glucose levels are going to be elevated, and that could affect your ability to sleep. And when you're eating late, it also signals your biological clock that this is early, and therefore that could also delay your timing of your sleep and your biological rhythm. And if you eat late, your glucose levels may stay up much longer during the night, whereas during sleep, you're supposed to be fasting, right? Supposed to be fasting, and that can help regulate. So there's studies to show that if you eat too close to bedtime, or especially your dinner, a large meal close to bedtime, that can increase the risk for diabetes.
We will have to do this again another time, Doctor, because we're out of time right now. But I think it's a fascinating subject and one for which there is a lot of interest. I hope we can get you to join us again another time.
Happy to do so. Thank you.
Really appreciate you joining us. So interesting. Dr. Phyllis Zee, who is the chief of sleep medicine, Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Where was the location again from today's far-flung forecast in Delaware?
Lewis, Delaware. It's on Delaware Bay. Overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
L-E-W-E-S.
L-E-W-E-S, yes.
Lewis, Delaware. So right. A big shout-out to somebody that says on our text line, I'm listening from Clayton, Delaware.
Oh, wonderful.
But okay. I still listen to Chicago radio since Illinois politics are more interesting than Delaware. Boy, you got that right.
Yes, Lewis is right along that wonderful coastline there, the mid-Atlantic states, near Rehoboth Beach and not far away from Ocean City.
Yeah.
Very, very nice place to be.
Yeah, you vacationed there recently.
Yes, we were there the week before last.
Yeah.
And no, I did not get any free items.
20 doesn't go anywhere where he doesn't get free stuff.
I just said, did I not, Andy? I did not get any free items.
Juani's you old, did, but old, I don't think it was conviction.
Yeah, his whole house is Holiday Inn towels and flatware over there. It's that's when a song was a song, right, Juani?
Boy, you better believe it.
Playing that 45 RPM record.
What's a 45 RPM record, Uncle D? Can I tell you a story about how I acquired my 45 RPM copy of this?
Of Hard Day's Night?
Of A Hard Day's Night. Side B was I Should Have Known Better.
Oh, that was a good song,
good
too.
Song, too. But I received this as a birthday present.
Oh.
For my 8th birthday, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I was told that I could only play it once a day because your mother cannot take that noise.
That rock and roll.
That's right.
Noise.
I could only play it once a day. But I was that was my birthday present when I was 8 years old.
Seems cruel to me. No wonder you are the way
what
you
was,
are.
What's very interesting, though, that as time went on and the Beatles evolved and they came out with, you know, great songs like Michelle and Yesterday and Something
in the Way.
My parents all loved those songs.
Yeah. Oh, no. When the Beatles first came out, my father thought they devils.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, our parents looked at the TV and said, look at that hair.
Saw their crazy hair, which if you look at their hair from 1964, it's not that long.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, but it wasn't the, you know, the prison crew cuts that we were all getting back then, as I like to call them, because my father
I had one of those myself.
My father fancied himself a barber.
He was Floyd in your household.
Just line them up, 1, 2, 3. Doesn't matter if it's even or not. The reason that I played A Hard Day.
Because you're talking about the movie.
Talking about the movie, which premiered on this day in 1964.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It had to be one of the first.
60 years ago, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had to be one of the first what?
Well, it had to be one of the first, songs put to visual arts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Videos.
What later became videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a full-length film, which was basically just teenage girls chasing the Beatles around. It really wasn't very much to the movie, but it sure was cool to that era and being part of that whole Beatlemania thing was. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure Jack has.
Cool.
I'm sure Jack has seen the movie many times, haven't you, Jack?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you even want to? Do you even know who the Beatles are?
Yeah, of course.
What is your frame? What do the Beatles mean to you? Your young, tender young age.
I just thought they were a music group, really.
Yeah. they were a music group.
That's about it.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
Not off the top of my head.
Have to. Isn't that interesting? Andy, how about you? Because
yeah,
it was that whole era, that whole Beatles mania thing.
Yeah.
That was before your time, too.
Yeah, I caught the tail end. I caught the Let It Be's, the Hey Jude's, and that group, Got to Get You Into My Life. Those kind of, those were the songs. I mean, I was more into Wings. I mean, because Paul McCartney was... Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody talked about how he was, the front man of the Beatles, one of the front the lead singers, and Band on the Run.
Band on the Run, I mean, great album. Yeah.
Some of the members on that.
Somebody called back in the day when I was, a hip music DJ.
You were Dean Diamond?
I wasn't Dean. No, I was. I dropped Dean Diamond fairly early. But somebody called on the request line and said, can you help me? Because somebody told me that Paul McCartney was in a group before Wings.
You really got a call like that.
Somebody said, is it true?
Is it true?
That Paul McCartney was in a band before
Wings. Yeah, that's been kind of a running joke, a standard joke, but somebody actually called you?
Actually happened.
Wow.
Actually happened.
So what was your reply?
I hung up.
I
told them that yes, of course, one of the greatest groups of all time.
But were you nice to them?
Probably not.
Probably.
Yes, of course I was nice to them.
Sure you were.
I'm nice to everybody.
Oh, sure you are.
Except you.
Sure.
The Beatles, that was magic back then.
That's all you heard about.
That's all. I mean, they literally changed. Not only that, it was more than just a music group. It was the way they looked, the way they sounded, the way they acted. They changed everything.
Everybody trying to talk into a British accent. They like they were from Liverpool.
Well, I mean, they completely,
We called our friends mates.
That's what I'm going to call you from
morning,
now on.
Morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, mate.
Morning, mate.
Hello, matey.
That sounds more Australian to
I
me.
I know.
we went from this Pat Boone world that we were living in to this, all you need is love period in which we were living.
That was even after Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. Yeah,
All You Need Is Love, Sergeant Pepper, Yellow Submarine.
Right.
You know all those songs, don't you, Jack?
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Jack's trying to get a nap.
Jack? Yep. Oh, yes, he's trying to follow the directions from the doctor.
Jack is trying to get a nap right now.
Bangers only, Schwannie.
The 423 area code. I have no idea what area code that is, but 423 says, Dean, I remember going to see A Hard Day's Night. Get this, we paid a quarter.
Mm. Yeah, not a quarter.
At 9 a.m. and stayed at the theater till 5 p.m. watching the movie over and over again.
Wow, that's for a awesome. Quarter.
How about that? That's cool.
That is great.
I remember going, I think, to the Shelton Theater on the South Side, Exchange Avenue. And I'm pretty sure I saw it then. And I may have wore my Beatles wig.
I hope you still have that.
My $1 Beatles wig that I bought at Woolworths. Yeah.
You should come in and wear that sometime. Yeah. Or better yet, wear it on TV some morning.
Yeah, well, that disintegrated many years ago.
Oh.
But... kind of ironic that when I had a full head of hair, I wore a wig. And now that I don't have a hair on my head.
You've lost them.
That I need. Actually, you know what? We did one April Fool's Day years ago on the TV morning show. I did wear. We went and got an actual wig, like a really nice one. And they combed it in. And
you mean a real toupee type thing?
A real toupee. And I wore it. Nobody said, nobody say anything. We want to see how people are going to react.
Great.
And it was so funny. did I show up with a full head of hair one day, and nobody's saying anything, but I could see people's eyes were
glancing up,
like going from my eyes up to see if they could see seams. But nobody said, "What's the deal with that mop you've got on your head?" I've got some pictures of that.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, here we are with pictures now.
Yeah.
Again with pictures.
What do you mean, again with
pictures? You know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, those pictures.
Those pictures.
Well, that's not...
You'd have to bring that up. There isn't a show that we don't do where that subject does not come up.
You brought it up.
I know I did. Me and...
These are the blackmail pictures mm-hmm. that I have on Schwani, where I'll just say this. This may be more clue than I've ever given before about these pictures. Schwani did have something on his head. And I did,
so
too.
So did you.
I did, too.
We all did.
Well, there were a bunch of people who may have been a little overserved that night in Greektown. And we had stuff on our head. But the blackmail goes much deeper than that, right?
I think it's time for a commercial break now.
I think we got plenty of time. So a lot of the hour, don't we?
Jack, but time.
play a commercial.
Yeah, we're on until 1 o'clock.
I'm taking notes. I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna figure out where they are and what they are.
Don't you have an interview with Carol Burnett to run?
I do, actually. I had a very nice chat with her earlier this week. Not that I'm letting you distract me off this subject, by the way. I just want to promo this real quick.
That was a very, very insightful interview with the doctor earlier, too.
That was very interesting, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that subject is very interesting, of lack of sleep. I've been sleeping.
It applies to us in the broadcast industry.
I've been big time. Sleeping terribly lately. I've not gotten a decent night's sleep since Reagan was in office. May account for some of my crankiness.
I think it might.
So I think it's a very interesting subject, but I think that it's a problem that a lot of people have. So
definitely. Yeah. Sleep deprivation?
I didn't know that, of eating too late.
You know, oh, yeah.
Before you go to bed, I just thought, like, your belly's full, and that's so, you know, your whole digestive system is cranking away, and that's why you don't sleep well. But it makes perfect sense. Your glucose levels, your sugar levels go up if you just ate, and that's going to keep you awake. I never knew that.
Yeah, so don't have any cake and ice cream before you go to bed.
Well, it's not even that, but it's like any kind of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Bread, pasta, mm-hmm. potatoes, you know, the foods are full of carbs. So I learned something on today's show. I would say today's program, we're only like an hour and 20 minutes into this. Super educational.
It's
so
Peabody
far.
Worthy. A Peabody worthy show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
As they all are.
As they all are. Right. Take that, WBEZ. There you go. We've talked so many times on the show about the production of Million Dollar Quartet. It is the fantastic musical that was here in Chicago for years at different theaters, probably longest at the Apollo Theater on North Lincoln Avenue. The musical about the one night in Memphis, Tennessee, December 4th, 1956, when the great Jerry Lee Lewis, the Killer, and Elvis, and Johnny Cash, and Carl Perkins all got together at this tiny little recording studio in Memphis, Sun Records, and made some incredible music. And that is all recreated in this show. And they are recreating it at this brand new theater in Aurora called the Stolp Island Theater. It's just right down the street from the Paramount. It's connected to the Paramount. It's part of their complex, but it's a 98-seat theater. And when you walk into this theater, it's like you're walking into Sun Records. It's not like you're walking into a theater and you see, you know, some decorations on the stage. The minute that you walk into this theater, it's like stepping into Sun Records in Memphis, Tennessee. And the attention to detail is uncanny visually, because it looks like you're walking into a 1956 recording studio. But when these guys come out on stage... And they are quite amazing, by the way. Carl Perkins is played by Christopher Wren. Elvis is played by Alex Swindle. Bill Scott Sheets is Johnny Cash. He's been on the show with us in previous incarnations of Million Dollar Quartet. And the young actor who plays Jerry Lee Lewis, Garrett Forrestal is his name, is amazing. He is so full of energy and is just jumping all over the piano and playing it upside down. And, you know, it's really something. And they recreate the music of that night. So if you're a fan of that era, if you're a fan of that show, I can't recommend the show enough for you. I think it's quite amazing. It's a Million Dollar Quartet at the Stolpe Island Theater. It's right on the beautiful Fox River, on the banks of the Fox River. And it's a brand new theater, this great show. Highly recommended. Million Dollar Quartet. Go check that out. Coming up after the news, exclusive one-on-one with the great Carol Burnett next. When you were a young boy growing up in Northwest Indiana on Saturday nights, did the family sit down in front of the TV and watch that whole lineup of great shows?
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. We did. Seriously, yeah.
Bob Newhart, All in the Family.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler
later.
Moore
yes.
was part of it, and then all capped off with the Carol Burnett Show. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Carol Burnett many times. She's currently featured on this new Apple TV Plus series, Palm Royale. And when I talked with her earlier this week, we talked about that. We talked about the old TV show. Talked about a brand new project that she's got coming up. And we'll get to all of that in just a minute. Do you know there's going to be a memorial in Los Angeles this coming week for Bob Newhart? The TV Academy in Los Angeles?
Well, it certainly is appropriate.
Yeah. And I'm going to it.
Will you be there for
I'm
it?
I'm going to be there for it.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was honored to be invited. So I'm going to be there for that. Also, we also talked with Carol Burnett about the great Bob Newhart, who just recently passed away. So you're probably asking yourself, Shawnee Dean, why don't you shut up and get to the
play interview. The interview, will you?
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Why don't you get to the interview?
It's all about me.
Me, me, me.
It's me.
Me, me, I, yeah. Me, 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 I.
They invited
I,
me.
Me, me, I.
What? They invited me.
There's no I in team. Remember that.
They're having a party, and they invited me.
Not you.
Yeah, and you're not going.
Yeah, why don't we do a few commercials here, and I can slap Shawnee straight and look things straight. Iconic music for an iconic person, the great Carol Burnett. First woman to host a television variety show, one that won 7 Primetime Emmy Awards. She won a Tony Award, a Grammy, 7 Golden Globes, a Presidential Medal of Freedom. The list goes on and on for honors for Carol Burnett. Her TV show definitely is one of the greatest of all time. But she's gone on to so many other projects. She's now, believe it or not, 91 years old, still full of all kinds of energy. And most recently is starring in the Apple TV Plus series, Palm Royale. We caught up with Carol in a Zoom chat this week and talked about that and her old TV show and her old pal who just recently passed away, Bob Newhart, and an exciting new project that she revealed to us exclusively. What an honor to bring you again on this show, the great Carol Burnett.
It's nice to see you. Thank you.
It's always wonderful to see you. We send you so much love from Chicago. It's been such a pleasure to be with you and talk with you whenever you've been here and through the years. And congratulations on your latest Emmy Award. How about that?
I know. I'm very, very excited. And I was surprised at the nomination this time, too. So.
Oh, I'm not at all. Norma Delacorte is such a fantastic character. I'm not one bit surprised that you were nominated. Is it kind of old hat now after you've won so many Emmy Awards? You know, is it like, oh, that's nice?
No, I'm not that jaded. Not that jaded. I was absolutely, honest to God, gobsmacked at the nomination because throughout most of Palm Royale, I was in bed asleep. Yeah. Like, okay. Getting nominated for being in a coma is kind of funny.
There are times, though, when you are Norma in Palm Royale.
Yeah.
That reminds me so much of some of the characters that you used to do on your old variety show. Do you draw from that when you do Norma now?
Not really, no. I you know, you're going to be who you are no matter who you're playing, for the most part. There are people like movie stars, when I grew up, Cary Grant was always Cary Grant, even though he was different people. Jimmy Stewart, there was always that core of you knew who they were. And I think that's part of, I'm like that, I think. You know, the people remember or think that they know Carol, even though I might be playing something serious or something really ridiculous. There's always that core of who you really are inside. It shows, I guess.
Yeah. Talk to me a little about season two now for Palm Royale. I know you can't give us any good, you know, super secrets or anything like that, but.
No, I can't because I haven't read anything. I don't know what it is. Oh. I can't wait to see who, you know, it ended, the first season ended where I was not Norma Delacorte. I was this somebody named Agnes. So how did that happen? I don't know. So I can't wait to see the second season because I'm as much in the dark as you are.
Yeah, it's just so great, though, isn't it? The writing is so great. And the actors around you, especially Kristen Wiig.
I mean, she is the
new Carol Burnett, in my opinion. But you two together are amazing.
We really have chemistry. I know that. And I was so happy that I had so many scenes with her. And we had a good time. They were all so wonderful. I mean, you know, when they called me and asked me to do this role, all they had to do was tell me who was in it. Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, Ricky Martin, Leslie Bibb, Josh Lu, on and on. I said, I'm in. I don't care what you want me to do. And then I read the script and then I loved it even more, you know, but Allison and I kind of knew each other ahead of time. And do you Wordle? Do you know what Wordle is?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The game. Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Allison and I Wordle every morning.
Oh, okay. All yeah. right. So you had that connection.
Had that connection, yeah.
With Kristen, does she remind you of any of the superstars with which you have worked through the years? Does she have the kind of comedic ability or timing? Or something?
And, you know, had the timing been different or we'd been different ages or what, if I'd had my show and she was around then, of course, she was a baby, you know, I would have had her be a regular guest, you know, because she can do it all. And I mean, that last scene when she has a nervous breakdown in the final episode.
Yeah.
That was a masterclass in acting. And she had to do that all day, kept doing it over and over and over for different camera angles or whatever. And she never missed a beat. I was absolutely in awe of her.
You must hear all the time how much people still love watching the reruns of your variety show. I would be one of those people that I do watch it just about every day and laugh my head off, even though I know the lines, I know what's about to happen. It is so classic. Is that something that comes up all the time for you?
Well, I have some news. Do you ever watch TCM, the old movies?
Of course.
The classic movies? Well, I'm hooked on it. So, because I was raised going to those movies with
my brother,
you know, so I remember a whole bunch of them. So I met Dave Karger, who is one of the hosts of TCM a few weeks ago at a function. And my husband, we were talking to him. My husband said, you know, Carol, we've Carol and I have an idea. And he said, what is it? I said that Carol would come on TCM and talk to Dave Karger, and they would show, for instance, the full movie of Mildred Pierce, say, with Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
Then you'd come to me and I'd be talking to Dave. Then we show the takeoff that I did on my show.
Oh.
They bought the idea. So we're going to show Mildred Pierce, Gone with the Wind, Double Indemnity, Stolen Life with Betty Davis did, The Heiress. They picked six or seven of the takeoffs, and they're going to show the full movie and then our satire on it. Which,
do you know when that will be?
I think they're going to show it in December.
Okay. Well, we'll keep it. What a fantastic idea.
Funny idea.
Absolutely can't wait for that. Carol, before they chase me out of here, I wonder if I could just get a few words from you about your old pal, Bob Newhart. He was very, very beloved by us here in Chicago. Yeah. I know he was on your show. You guys were part of that legendary Saturday night lineup.
We were, but Bob and I worked together even before that on a CBS show in the early 60s called The Entertainers. And he was on that show. It was Bob and me and Dom DeLuise and Katerina Valente. It didn't last very long, but that's how I really got to know Bob and his wife, Jenny, who was wonderful. And I know their kids, he was one of a kind and so sweet. So, there wasn't any kind of conceit about him at all. He was just who you would hope he would be. He was so wonderful.
Yeah, he was very, very special to all of us as well. It's wonderful to see you. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination and all. And I hope, we can get to see you in person sometime soon. We love you so much. Thank you, Carol.
I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. Love it.
10:50 is the time. About that Carol Burnett. Wow. And this new thing she's going to be doing on the TCM channel, where they're going to show her spoofs along with the original movies that were being spoofed. That's incredible. That'll be in November on TCM, and you heard it here first. Got more A-list interviews coming up in our next hour. Cate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Hart. Talked to them all on the red carpet of their new movie, Borderlands. It's just another manic Monday. That and so much more still to come for you, including another one of our 66 days of giveaways celebrating Route 66. No shortage of nostalgic adventures to be had along the first 100 miles of Route 66. And now through August 24th, the Illinois Office of Tourism, the first 100 miles of Route 66, Heritage Corridor destinations, and WGN Radio, that's us, are giving you a chance to win daily on-air prizes valued at $200. And we're going to do one of those giveaways right now. If you want to jump on the phone line, I'm going to go to caller number 6, and we're going to give away a $100 gift card for, an Amazon $100 gift card, courtesy of the Joliet Region Chamber of Commerce and their upcoming New Orleans North Festival on August the 16th, and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. This is all brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism, the first 100 miles of Route 66 fueled by Heritage Corridor destinations. You can visit WGNradio.com/contest for your chance to win the ultimate Route 66 prize pack worth over $1,700. But for now, caller number 6, You're going to be our winner at 312-981-7200. All right, 10:55 is the time. And is this Anthony on the phone line?
Yes, Dean. Thank you so much. I always listen to your radio station.
I appreciate that.
I've been listening to you forever.
Thank you. We appreciate that very, very much. And you are caller number 6, my friend. So you're going to be you're going to be a winner for us here.
And I want to take her on Route 66 so bad. This is going to help me out a lot.
Oh, this is perfect because you, first of all, get a $100 Amazon gift card courtesy of the Joliet Region Chamber of Commerce and their upcoming New Orleans North Festival August 16th, but also a $100 Exxon Mobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. Yeah, so that'll help a lot if you're actually going to take the trip. That's fantastic.
You know, I'll report back to the great time we had because it's been crazy this year. But my daughter will love going with me.
That's fantastic. Where are you calling from, Anthony?
I live in Jefferson Park. I listen to you and WGN Radio all the time. Matter of fact, my phone number is 720, you know. I've always listened to you guys, and I wish you nothing but the best. May you be blessed with good health for this year and beyond.
Likewise.
And may you all have many blessings, my friend.
That's very, very nice of you. Now, you're in Jefferson Park. Are you anywhere near the famous Gale Street Inn restaurant over there on Milwaukee?
Yes. I'm about not even 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
I know him, George, real well.
George, the owner over there. I was there not too long ago enjoying their ribs, but that's just one of the many great destinations in Jefferson
Park. And the staff is just wonderful. They're always so wonderful.
Yeah, they've done a little remodeling there, and they've updated the joint a little bit. So that's
because COVID hit him pretty bad, but he did some nice remodeling, and like I say, he kept the staff honest. The staff stayed. A lot of them have 25 years or more.
Yeah,
but the food is always fantastic.
Didn't they have Jefferson Park Festival last weekend or something like that?
Yes. A couple weekends ago it was. Very nice.
Jeff Fest.
We got good weather, too, no rain.
Yeah, can't beat that. Well, listen, you hang on for a second. Don't go away, Anthony. Jack is going to jump on the phone line and get some more information from you. But you're definitely a winner. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate all of your kind words. And we hope you have a great Sunday today, okay?
And I wish you nothing but the best. And you had one of the best actresses and comedians on just now, Carol Burnett.
How about that?
And Bob Newhart was fantastic. I met him. What a nice guy.
He was a super, super guy. Absolutely. All right. You hang on for one
second. So are you.
Thank you. Likewise. Let me make sure I push the right button and not hang up on him. Okay. We've got that straight. Congratulations to Anthony, our latest winner in the 66 days of giveaways celebrating good old Route 66. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to get into more of our A-list interviews. This past week, I shot out to L.A. and did the premiere for this new movie called Borderlands. Unfortunately, it's not doing very well at the box office, but I thought it was fun. I mean, it's not the greatest or most original movie I've ever seen. It's an action comedy. And but it's an action comedy that features a couple of Academy Award winners, which is something very unusual. Cate Blanchett just kicks butt in this movie. So does Jamie Lee Curtis. Our old pal Kevin Hart is featured in the movie. Jack Black is featured in the movie. Talk to them all on the red carpet, and we're going to share those conversations with you coming up in just a little while. We'll also get into our Food Time show after 12 o'clock today. Also, by the way, a lot of you came in on the middle of our conversation with Carol Burnett. We will be posting that up on the web. And just for your convenience also, we're going to repeat the Carol Burnett interview just after 12 o'clock today. Sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it?
Is that your sound effects machine going off in there?
Yes, it is. Okay. Trying to pretend like it's the Aaron Walker.
You should be on the beach. We should do the show, right? We should do the show
on the beach.
On the beach, the Aaron Walker show.
don't think they would allow us out there.
Probably not.
I believe another station may have exclusive rights to that, but I wouldn't mind sitting out there. It was a gorgeous day yesterday for this.
I actually just saw one of the F-18s flying over to the building.
Yeah, I wondered if... Yeah. It's weird, like, because normally the windows are shaking by now.
Yeah, this one was high, way up in the air. This one was not as low as the window rattlers.
I noticed that you still have the shades pulled.
I do.
In there.
The blinds.
You want to be? You want to work in isolation? Is that it?
It's too shiny in here.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
My window faces east, so when the sun is coming up in the morning, it blasts in here. And it's super shiny. I can't see anything. It's reflecting. You know, we have nothing but TV monitors in here. And it's reflecting off the monitors. And so I have to close all the blinds.
Wear sunglasses, then.
How about if I put some duct tape on your mouth, for example? How about that? Central Standard Time, 11:11. Aren't we going to start using this as the Sunday morning theme song?
Yep. Dean's here, and Dave's here, and Andy's here, too.
Here is the far-flung forecast now.
It is a gold medal show, indeed.
Now it's time for A-List Celebrities.
That fit right in.
Wow. We're geniuses.
Not bad at all.
Just wait for the lawsuit to come in on that. But he called Karen Conti in advance.
Yes, we'll need her expertise.
Need counsel on that. Final day today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the closing ceremonies, our time,
this
are
afternoon.
Be in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, are they showing it in the afternoon? Normally, they show that in the evening.
I think they'll probably show it both. They've been doing that. I mean, they had the live women's game on that concluded about 45 minutes ago or so. And I'm sure they'll play that in primetime, too. Even everybody knows what happened.
Not a fan of competitions on the final day. Seems like they're just trying to squeeze stuff in.
Yeah. I don't know if that was originally scheduled that way or if there were... I don't know of any delays. I mean, the only delay they had was with the triathlon for a couple of days because of the river. Yeah. But that was it. It must have been scheduled.
They always do that, though, the Olympics.
Yeah.
They always have a few events on the last day.
Got to squeeze every ounce of toothpaste out of that tube.
But they get, like, short shrift, don't they, on the last day?
Well, either that or they get a lot of the attention because there's only a couple of events going on.
Yeah, I guess so.
So they could be looking at it that way. It's always difficult, I think, for everybody when the Olympics are not on our soil, or at least in our near time zone.
Our time zone, yeah.
Because it's difficult, and I know that there have been people that have been complaining the fact that I'm giving out the results, but, I mean, this is doing my job, you know?
The results are everywhere. Yeah. I've had...
And you've got your phone, and you've got whatever social media.
Yeah, my phone has just been, the last 2 weeks, nothing but exploding with results, real-time results.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, I'm not sure what's live sometimes and what's not. I mean, I have to go to the Olympic website, which is really bad, by the way, considering all the money that they put into these games. But I have to go to the websites every once in a while just to make sure, okay, this game was live, and yeah, okay, I can report on this game. This one was over 26 hours ago. I should probably stop talking about it. You know, it's difficult sometimes.
Not everyone can be the same responsible journalist that a Dave Schwann is.
No, that's true. I'm you know, aspiring. I'm hoping that to climb that mountain one day.
Yeah.
Andy?
You know, when you repeat the same story six times per morning,
yeah,
it's much easier to control.
Thanks a lot.
He's shaking his head.
Thanks a lot. Andy, I think you're doing just fine.
Well, thank you, Schwann.
How would you handle this? Because the results are being, you know, in the time zone in Paris.
That's like plus 7 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Seven hours.
So what do you not report on it? Do you?
You know, we've discussed this on the air here the past couple of weeks, and watching things and the fact that you can see so many events online, live TV, early evening. Yep. I would be doing exactly what you're doing. Andy.
Yeah,
with this.
You know, last week it became a little bit of a topic of debate with on John Williams' show, where people were saying, I should say, spoiler alert, or I should say, you know, if you don't want to hear, you know,
why
would I want to tell somebody to turn the radio off, first of all?
Yeah.
And I kind of likened it to the fact that, you know, Cubs games and White Sox games are played live, and then they're also repeated on those same channels. So do I have to wait for the replay of that game to tell you the score because you didn't get to see the live game at 1:20 or at 6? I mean, that's the same thing. It's a live event.
It's a long time
and
problem because, you know, for example, when there's a Bears game on and we have regular programming on, do you give the partial scores of the Bears games to remind people that this is going on someplace else?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just ignore it? I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, you're not going to have to worry about it after
today. Correct.
Robin Baumgarten got a avalanche of negative response when she, I forget what competition it was. It was maybe it was a Simone Biles event.
Okay.
You know, which is a pretty big deal.
Huge deal.
And she mentioned what the result was, and you know, everybody went nuts because she didn't say, turn your radio down for a turn your TV down for a minute, blah blah blah, if you don't want to hear.
Yeah, but I'll bet this, a lot of those people, even if you know the results, I'm not, like, I do this for a living, and I knew the results of Simone Biles and everything that was going on, but yet my wife and I watched it because I wanted to see it actually happen.
Yeah, I was think it might whet your appetite to see the whole thing. You hear the results, and you go, oh wow!
And even knowing,
I want to see this.
And I think even knowing it, I was still glued in.
I think your original point is that this information is available in so many places now.
You got it.
It's not like it's only on TV or
only on radio.
Only on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't tell you, you're never going to know.
Right.
As I say, look, I just cleared my phone out during the newscast because I have to do something during the news to keep my mind occupied.
Of course, you
and what
in
are
for
you?
The sports,
what are you insinuating?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9. I've got 9 like bulletins on my, you know, the pop up on my phone, notifications of things going on there. So there's no avoiding it.
No, there isn't.
Unless you turn all your devices off.
Yeah. And people won't do that for fear of missing out on other things that, you know, are other than the Olympics. But yeah, I get it. Like I said, I'm empathetic to those that were upset about it, but I'm also you know, kind of obliged to let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
As you always do.
708 area code says the closing ceremonies are being shown 3 times today.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Live at 2 p.m., then again at 6.
And then the overnight, probably. Late night.
10:35 p.m.
Yeah. NBC's got to make the most of everything that they paid for it. You know,
Someone's got to pay Snoop Dogg's salary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
$500 a day. Huh?
He has been everywhere, except actually competing in events, you know, running or wrestling.
How great would that be to see him do a pole vault?
See him pole vault or do a run.
Right.
He could have been in the breakdancing competition.
Yes.
He's a good dancer.
That would be great.
He's a great dancer,
He's a good dancer.
He's a good entertainer.
When do they start weed smoking competition? He could be in that.
I think he's championing that cause. Although, depending on who you believe and what you read, you know, Snoop has kind of weaned himself off the actual smoking. I think he has gone to the edible situation and you know, other ways to ingest.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this is a guy. I got to give him credit. I mean, he's basically invented himself. He was, you know, the sidekick basically to Dr. Dre. When he put out an album back in the early 90s, and then he spun that off to a little bit of a solo career, and now he's a producer, he's an entrepreneur, he's
partners with Martha Stewart.
Yeah, it's crazy how he's exploded and can continue to be as popular as he is.
Yeah. Shwani, how mad would you be at me if one Sunday morning I replace all the pastries that you have in the newsroom with
edibles.
Like pastries that have been ingested?
Well, I have to say the joke may be on you because we don't have any pastries in the newsroom.
You always have pastries.
When was the last time I brought in some, Andy? It's like, been quite a
it
while.
It has been a while.
It's like Heinemann's Bakery in there. Are you kidding me?
And I could use some today. Of all days, you didn't bring them in.
No, I didn't bring any. I have not brought in any for a while, just because I'm trying to eat a little better.
Well, these edibles would help you do that. I think. So I'm told.
So I've heard, yes.
I'll leave that to our audience members, as we found out a month or so ago. Remember, we talked about this?
And oh, yeah.
We found out what stoners are Sunday morning listeners.
Oh, that's been a while ago, yeah.
And then you got the official word from Don Kleppen, who hosts his own Cannabis Man podcast.
Yeah.
We were talking yesterday about all that. And he
with Don Kleppen?
Yeah, I was just chatting with him in the newsroom. Yeah.
Did he remember that you chatted about it?
Oh, he does, yes.
Did he
certainly does.
You remember the Barney Miller episode where someone dropped off some laced brownies in the office?
And everybody got high?
It was hysterical.
That's what I want to do to you.
So funny. Come in with some fresh baked goods. Hi, this is for you. How funny. Enjoy them.
How funny would Schwanee be if he was a little...
I'm not sure. I don't know, a little
shake and bake with Schwanee.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect.
Shake and bake with Schwanee.
That's our cooking segment.
Oh, Lord.
All right. What are we doing?
Well, what's next now?
What are we doing? I'm asking you.
Oh, what are we doing? What's next?
I was going to talk about something. I can't remember. Maybe I'm the one that should have the edibles here. It's 11:25. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. A-list interviews with Oscar winners Kate Blanchett and Jamie Lee Curtis in our next half hour. I wanted to acknowledge an anniversary. You know, all the news these days is about presidential politics, and there is a presidential anniversary today that I'll bet you remember. It was on this day 40 years ago that then President Ronald Reagan was getting ready to do a speech on television, and while they were doing a sound check, he started goofing around and talking about how we were going to bomb Russia. He's just signed a proclamation. We're going to start bombing Russia. And there were international implications about, this was caught on tape, and there were international implications to President Reagan kind of horsing around a little bit.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
I remember that.
Can you imagine if something like that happened now?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow was right. So, you know, this was not just something that was brushed aside. This was something that had international implications. NBC's Tom Brokaw takes over the story.
It was the joke heard around the world, the one by President Reagan about bombing the Soviet Union, and it resulted in a Soviet red alert, and it became a campaign issue in this country. Now, Marvin Kalb has learned that the Soviets responded in their own fashion.
The president was joking his way through an audio check on August 11th.
That I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
By August 14th, the story became world news, a major item on Moscow television, where the joke was not treated as a laughing matter. August 15th, a coded message left Soviet military headquarters in Vladivostok. It said, in part, "We now embark on military action against the U.S. forces." The code was instantly broken by U.S. and Japanese intelligence. This is what then happened. A special command unit in Usurisk went on wartime alert. Key Japanese military units raised their readiness status. Soviet naval vessels in the North Pacific, baffled by the order, checked with Vladivostok. Confusion. U.S. intelligence urgently canvassed for signs of an imminent Soviet attack. Found none.
There was what they described as a wayward operator in the Soviet Far Eastern Command who sent out a message alerting Soviet forces in that area that a state of war existed between the United States and the Soviet Union.
Within 30 minutes, the mysterious Soviet alert was canceled. Was it unusual? Not, according to U.S. officials.
They said it particularly happens on weekends when discipline is a little less than it might be on weekdays.
But August 15th was a weekday. One senator said the alert must have been a joke. A congressman said it was Russia's way of answering the president. Most officials said no comment, though one did speculate that the Russian might have been drunk. Marvin Kalb, NBC News, the State Department.
Can you imagine that? That's amazing.
Keep in mind that this was still during the Cold War. The Soviet Union had yet to break up.
This was before tear down that wall.
That's right.
Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall and, you know, a cooling of tension. But can you imagine what kind of repercussions there would be now if a president of any kind was goofing around like that during a sound check and the recording got out? What kind of free-for-all there would be with a reaction to that? But the worldwide reaction and a Vladimir Putin reaction now to something like that.
In light of everything that's going on with Ukraine. Sure. Yeah. China.
Sure. It did remind me of a calmer time, though. Just watching President Reagan, a calmer time in America, a calmer demeanor when Republicans and Democrats could actually speak to one another and negotiate and come to agreements, and, you know, not the insanity that we have now.
No, they had their disagreements, but, they worked it out. Yeah. Much more amenable to each other. Yeah.
Remember Tip O'Neill would go in with Reagan. They'd arm wrestle.
Yeah. And President Reagan was friends with the late Dan Rostenkowski, long-term Democratic congressman from Chicago.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
A kinder, gentler time in America where people could actually speak to one another. What a crazy concept. Gorgeous Sunday morning. Dean Richards, nice to have you here with us. We always appreciate you joining us. We always appreciate all the nice words. Very, very nice of you all. Weekend box office numbers, the movies. Looks like it's going to wind up with Deadpool and Wolverine in the number one spot again. Third week in a row now, but this is kind of interesting. The romantic drama It Ends With Us is hot on its heels. Deadpool and Wolverine took in $54 million so far. Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds' wife's movie, It Ends With Us, took in $50 million. So it's, it could be a photo finish. See how that works out. Twisters is after that. Borderlines and Despicable Me rounding up the top five. I was in Hollywood this past week doing some interviews on the... it was not a red carpet. It was actually a yellow carpet because that's kind of the theme of the movie Borderlands. But I was there to talk with the stars of this sci-fi action comedy. It's an adaptation of a video game. Not getting great reviews. In fact, getting pretty bad reviews overall. I gave it a Dean's List C. It's not the most original movie in the world, but come on, it's an action, sci-fi movie. What do you expect? I wasn't going in thinking it was going to change the world in any way. It's a summer popcorn movie. But what I really did like in this movie was that there are some A-list superstars that you don't normally find in movies like this that were kicking butt. I mean, they were fighting, space bad guys along with the rest of them. The movie stars Cate Blanchett, Oscar winner, Jamie Lee Curtis, Oscar winner, Kevin Hart, Jack Black. It's directed by Eli Roth. Edgar Ramirez is one of the stars of the movie. And a local actress, I found out on the red carpet, I did not know ahead of time, that actress Janina Gavankar is from the Chicago area. She's actually from Joliet. And on the red carpet, she told us a little about her background.
I went to Troy Crogwell. And high school was Joliet West. I was a marching tiger, and I was very hardcore in the drumline. Pretty hardcore.
Child of Bozo on WGN?
I wasn't really allowed to watch TV, but that's when I had seen Bozo growing up. And my writing and directing partner, he's from Rockford. He's there right now. So, and we're hoping to come home and shoot a movie there soon. So we're going to hopefully come back soon.
Come to WGN when you come home.
I would love to.
We would love to have you.
I actually did come last time. I was in Chicago and went to the Chicago Film Festival, and I stopped by. I was like, "Would you guys want me to? Can I stop by WGN?" You guys had the coolest hallways.
Talk to me a little about the girl power of this movie, because it's tangible.
I mean, you're kind of asking a person that isn't like, yeah, but a strong female lead. That's not a person. These are not. That's not a character. That's not a person. I think it's, I don't think you get any extra credit points for having women in your film. I don't think you get any extra credit points, right, for having them be capable and smart, just like everybody else in the film. So, yeah, like, no surprise.
I like that my little nieces, though, can go see a movie like this
and
go, I can be like the commander.
That's right. But I don't want her to go, oh, thank God. No, I just want it to be. So then she can walk around and go, yeah, this is normal. Why? I'm not even flinching. Yeah. This is normal.
Janina Gavankar from Joliet plays one of the commanders in the movie, and she makes a good point. It should be just normal that the female characters are strong and smart and capable, just like everybody else in the movie. We also talked with the A-list stars of the movie, Kevin Hart, Cate Blanchett, and also Jamie Lee Curtis. We're going to get to those coming up in a minute. I got to tell you, though, when we get to the Cate Blanchett interview, you know, she's walking down the lane of the carpet, and I could see she was wearing some kind of metallic-looking top. And as she got closer and closer and closer to me, what she was wearing was a top that was made out of bent spoons. Actual bent spoons. I think I had read someplace. I didn't ask her for a count, but I think somebody told me there were like 200 spoons that were bent backwards and then attached to the material, you know, for her to put this thing on. It was quite the outfit. I've never interviewed anybody with eating utensils as clothing before, so that was first for me. She'll explain when we come right back. Our A-list interviews today, 11:46. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with our A-list interviews with the stars. Boy, it's gotten super busy with A-list interviews lately. In Los Angeles last week to talk with Kevin Hart, Cate Blanchett, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Talked with Vince Vaughn a couple of days ago. We're going to share that with you soon. I'll be in New York this coming week, and we'll interview the cast of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I'll see the new Beetlejuice movie and then interview the cast, Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, the whole cast. Looking forward to all of that. We'll bring it all to you right here on our Sunday morning show. We'll bring it to you on Bob Surratt's show, where we do entertainment with him every weekday morning between 8 and 8:30. And, of course, on the good old WGN TV morning news. Tomorrow morning on the TV morning news, Cate Blanchett and Jamie Lee Curtis. Two Oscar winners. Two people you would not expect to be in an action, space, sci-fi, comedy. But they are. And as I had mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Cate Blanchett, you know, surprising everybody with her outfit. It was a top which was made completely out of spoons, metal spoons that were kind of bent backwards and attached somehow with, I don't know how they were all attached, but there were hundreds of them. And that's all anybody could talk about on the red carpet.
Is the hit of the carpet.
Oh, well, no, I'm right next to the hit in the carpet.
Oh, no.
Those are individually attached
spoons.
Spoons.
Don't ask me to play them, because I won't.
It's a fantastic look. I'm cooking now on our show. Oh, so now you've inspired me to put some spatulas on or something like that.
No, yeah, young female designer who won the LVMH
where?
Prize.
From where?
I think she's out of Copenhagen, I think.
Amazing. Yeah.
Spectacular. This is not the kind of movie that we would expect to see either of you in. What or who inspired you to be part of Borderlands?
I was offered a part in a movie that Cate was going to be in. And I just kept repeating, she's going to be in the movie? She's going to actually act in the movie. And there's a part where I'm going to be in the movie with her.
Meanwhile, I was having the same conversations with my reps. No, it's true. You just don't want to hear it.
It was just true. That was how it happened. And I was just thrilled to have an opportunity. I think she's a great artist and a great example of all of it. Being a woman, being an innovator, being an artist, being a conscious human being in the universe, being an expander of ideas. This is the whole idea right here.
Well, I would say, I mean, the reason why I wanted to do it, obviously, you can read the best script in the world from the, you know, one of the most played video games on the planet, you know, Borderlands by Gearbox. But unless you got a kind of a motley crew, a great bunch of people, and knowing Jamie was going to be on board, and then Gina came on board, and knowing Kevin, and, you know, that was the thing. So that's what, you know, you, Mrs. Yeah. Red Glasses, over there.
It's all, you know what?
Hiding behind.
What really drew us is we were going to humanize a video game. And what that meant is we're taking something that people enjoy, it's a character, but it hasn't been brought to human life. And movies are about human life and heart and connection. And so we all created that in the midst of, you know, kind of some craziness.
Yeah.
But it was really quite beautiful.
You were making this while you were making Tar?
No, right before.
Yeah, no, Jamie had just come off Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I was seeing these weird photos of Jamie and Michelle Yeoh with sausage fingers going, what the hell is that? Meanwhile, we were in Budapest, Mahler's town, and I was conducting lessons and preparing to play, you know, Tar in the eponymous movie.
She left Budapest at the end of the movie and went to Berlin and made Tar.
So the gun twirling kind of got my fingers dexterous for the baton.
Yes, you know. Interesting.
Freaky Friday coming back. How exciting is that?
Exciting. We're like, I'm going to work tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Like, we're in the middle of it. I took a couple days break to be able to come off and promote the movie, but yeah, I go back tomorrow morning.
Yep, there she goes, Jamie Lee Curtis. She's making Freaky Friday 2 with Lindsay Lohan and Cate Blanchett in this movie. It's amazing to me. I mean, because she plays a mercenary in this movie, hold nothing back kind of a mercenary, running, jumping, you know, shooting, exploding. Not the kind of thing that you expect to usually. Very cerebral Cate Blanchett to do in her motion pictures. So something really different from her. The movie that she was making, you know, they kind of overlapped a little bit. At the end is where she plays conductor Lydia Tarr, an amazing, amazing portrayal that she takes on in that film. Excuse me, a little something in my throat here all of a sudden. Also in this movie, starring as one of the, you know, the space adventurers, is comedian, actor Kevin Hart, who we've gotten to know pretty well through the years. He's stopped by WGN many times over the decades, and we've had some fun with him. Now he's taking on this role. Just so happens that we talked to him on the carpet the same day that it was announced that he's going to be doing a show at the Chicago Theater, stand-up comedy show, on January 3rd. And he gave us a few details on that.
Kevin Hart, acting my age, yes, Chicago Theater, January 3rd.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to Chicago when it's the coldest.
Yes, yes, that's where you come. You come when it's the coldest. Yeah. So you get to experience Chicago for what Chicago really is. Yeah. And Chicago is the best when it provides that ultimate cold climate. That's where you guys flourish. That's where you guys come out, show up, and show out. And
do you remember when we dragged you and Ice Cube over to Wrigley Field and had hot dogs?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
I always quote you when you said, "This is disrespectful cold."
The weather. The weather. The weather definitely had it had no level of respect attached to how it was punching me in the face that day. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
What can we expect from the tour?
You can expect great material. It's called Acting My Age. I'm tapping into me in this new unique space of life, but in a manner that only I can. It's a little raw, a little edgy, but in a good way. I think the audience has been waiting for me to kind of tap back into this place when it comes to stand-up. So I can't wait to give you guys what I think you desperately have been waiting for and what you also deserve. You know, it's like a light switch. I can flick it on and flick it off. I made the choice to flick it on this one.
I love that we're going to get Kevin Hart in space now in Borderlands.
this is
a whole new thing for you, right?
This is a big one. It's a different look, a different feel. But more importantly, what I think I love the most about it is that it's something unique to the fan base. So I'm unexpected and not necessarily what people would think Roland could be, which is what made it that much more of a challenge to do. So after taking on the challenge, surpassing the challenge, the next thing is just to get people to come out and see it so that you guys can understand, get on the same page that we all are, which is knowing why Roland's so special, why the choice is made, and why the material is definitely what it's supposed to be. I think you guys are in for a treat.
We have the Democratic Convention coming into Chicago. I saw you on social media dancing for Kamala.
To each his own. It's not really my cup of tea. Yeah. It hasn't been.
Do you think that affects people, though, when celebrities make an endorsement that people go, oh, this one or that one like this candidate or that candidate?
Hey, I don't think that you should follow a celebrity just because they're a celebrity. We're people, too. So if you respect the person and you agree with the person's opinion or approach, then that's one thing. But just the idea of the star and attaching that to a world to follow, I don't think that's in anybody's best interest. I don't want you to follow me just because I'm a star or doing anything just because I'm a star. So once again, that's why I try to voice and only voice my side of opinion or feeling towards things that I feel it can best be served towards. So when it doesn't, I don't say anything. I'm a quiet guy.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see when the convention is here, which celebrities show up, which ones are vocal, which ones are, you know, putting their opinions out there. He makes a good point that they're citizens, too. He's just a guy, too, and expressing his opinion. Doesn't expect anybody to follow him or not follow him. But it's going to be interesting, the sideshow, if you will, of what's going to be going on at the convention while the official nomination is denounced is going to be a very, very interesting one indeed. Their movie is called Borderlands. I gave it a Dean's List C, and that's mostly based on seeing Cate Blanchett being a space hero. The writing's okay in it. I'm not familiar with the video game. People are telling me that it doesn't really follow the video game very closely. So if that means something to you, then you may be disappointed with that. But anyway, Dean's List C, Borderlands is rated PG-13, and it is in theaters now. Coming up after 12 o'clock, we're going to get into our Food Time show, talk about some summertime treats, some desserts that are easy to do for summertime. But also, I wanted to repeat an interview that we played back for you earlier this morning. I was fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time with one of the greatest stars of all time, the great Carol Burnett. She is currently starring in the Apple TV Plus series, Palm Royale. And we talked about that. We talked about her old TV show. We talked about her old pal, Bob Newhart. you know, she was very close with, who just passed away. She broke some news for us about a project that she's got coming up on the TCM cable channel. So all that is going to be coming up after 12 o'clock for you as well. And I'll tell you how you can join me at a special Dean's Night Out at the Paramount Theater. Finally saw a plane fly by.
I saw a really neat older prop plane fly by.
I think that maybe that's what I saw.
Okay, question. How did you see it with the blinds closed?
It was in the reflection. There's nothing but glass in the studio. So even though I've got the blinds closed on one side, I close them on one side where the sun is shining through. But in the reflection of a reflection, I saw something flying by. I think it was
a really neat older plane.
May have been a bat.
A bat?
May have been a giant fly.
Maybe a pterodactyl.
Dragonfly.
May have been a pterodactyl flying by. But they do the older planes, and then later on this afternoon, right, they'll have the formations.
Right. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Andy, what were you saying? It's like somebody won a gold medal for polo?
A water polo.
Water polo.
Yeah, the U.S. takes a water polo medal for the first time in 16 years in the men's division. So congratulations to Team USA winning today over Hungary to win the bronze medal.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. We're doing well in the medals. 40 gold. That's tied with China for the most, and the U.S. leads the overall medal count with 126.
Shwani, you can probably relate to this with me. Whenever I hear the word polo, I think of one thing and one thing only.
Okay.
Rachel.
Fred.
Rachel, you've come back.
I finally realized that I love you, even though you are rich.
Oh, Rachel, how long I've waited to hear those words. In spite of all of my possessions and all my wealth, I realized that without you, I was poor. Nothing meant anything to me. My mansion, my villa, my yacht, my string of polyphony. Now he's got me doing it!
Was a huge big deal to go to the Sears store. Oh, that was a huge big deal in our family. We'd go to the Sears on 79th Street near Stony Island first. That's what my earliest memories.
That building is still there, I think.
That building, that cool old building.
Yeah.
Still, some of those old Sears stores are still there. They're classic. We'd go there. You know, the four brothers, the three of them would get new clothes, and I would get their hand-me-downs.
When you got home.
Yeah, when I got home, I got the hand-me-downs. I couldn't wait until I finally got a paper route or whatever little job I had, so I could be the first one to wear the clothes that I was wearing. That was a big deal. But then, and you can probably relate to this, Shwani, growing up in Northwest Indiana, when they opened up that Sears at River Oaks.
We were there all the time.
That was like the Taj Mahal.
We were there all the time. There was a Sears store in Hammond also, on State Street in Hammond.
Yeah, but one in River Oaks.
River Oaks was really something.
I mean, River Oaks, just in and of itself, when it first opened, was...
It was a very big deal.
It was a big, huge deal. And do you know that just this past Thursday, aldermen in Calumet City voted to demolish former Sears store?
I saw that. And it just brought back so many memories, you know, of going there. I would buy records there. My parents and I would go. The parents bought things, clothes, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Some appliances of some sort.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Kenmore?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Craftsman tools.
Mm-hmm. I still have Craftsman tools that I bought in Sears.
Yeah,
those are going to outlive me. But I was reading a story in the Tribune that I guess the city of Calumet City or the village, whatever it is,
it's a city.
They bought it. They bought the building. It's a 330,000 square foot building. They used a no cash bid. And now own the building, and they plan on demolishing it within the next 2 months.
Now, that I haven't been by there in years, but if they're going to do that with the Sears store that was there, what's going on with the rest of the shopping center?
They say they want to use it for their plan is to use it for mixed retail, restaurants, housing, develop an entertainment district there, you know, and maybe a casino. Maybe an outdoor water park, indoor and outdoor water park, they're saying?
Well, it was an outdoor mall. It was, you know, it was covered afterwards, some years after it was built. But if you remember, you know, it was outside. You were covered walking from store to store, but it wasn't enclosed.
Yeah, no, but it was like River Oaks or Oak Brook. Same kind of style as that. Oh, that was a big deal to go to the River Oaks theaters there.
That was a huge deal. You wanted to make an impression on a date?
Yeah.
You took them to the River Oaks Theater.
Yeah. Go to Barnaby's.
Barnaby's.
It was right down the street first.
Yeah.
On Torrance Avenue.
Yep.
And then you go to the theater. But that Sears store, I mean, I remember walking in and you could smell like the roasted nuts.
Sure.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hot peanuts. You could buy those, hot cashews.
They called them Spanish peanuts in the darker red skins.
Yeah, with the skins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Forget about the saturated fat content.
Yeah. Fat schmat. I'm sad about this.
Yeah, it did. It depressed me also when I saw that.
I haven't been there in years, but it still makes me sad. But I'm glad to see you're still. I know the shirt you're wearing. I recognize that from Sears them 30 years ago.
1973.
Yeah, you have gotten a lot of your money's worth out of that thing. 12:19, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Inviting you to join me for a Dean's Night Out at the Paramount in Aurora to see the full Monty. We're going to go there to the Paramount on September the 1st, have a little meet and greet before the show, and then pop into this gorgeous theater and see this amazing musical. If you would like to enter to win a pair of tickets, just go to WGNradio.com/contest. WGNradio.com/contest. Join me to see the full Monty on September the 1st. Wanted to just take a moment to express condolences to the family of Kathy Byrne. Kathy, as you may recall, was the daughter, the only child, the former mayor, Jane Byrne. Kathy grew up in the public spotlight because of her famous mom and became an attorney. Very successful attorney, passed away from breast cancer the other day. Only 66 years old. I recall many, many years ago having Kathy Byrne in, and she co-hosted with me just for an hour. We did, she was very, very nice. I'm sure I have the tape someplace, that was very unusual. This has to be, let me think, it has to be the early 80s, I'll bet. She came in, we just chatted about things in the news, things going on, you know, there really wasn't so much an interview with her. She was just sort of co-hosting with me. And she was a very, very, very nice person. Had her mom, the former mayor, Jane Byrne, on the show several times, and Kathy. And now I'm sad to report the news that Kathy Byrne has passed away, 66 years old. So our condolences to her family. We wanted to replay an interview that we played a little bit earlier in the show with one of the legends of television. The great Carol Burnett is a multi-primetime Emmy Award winner, the recipient of the Mark Twain Award for Comedy. She is a Tony Award winner, a Golden Globe winner. The list of accolades goes on for the great Carol Burnett. She is currently starring and was nominated for an Emmy Award, by the way, for her role in the Apple TV Plus series Palm Royale. Season 2 is going to be coming sometime soon. They have not announced a release date for that yet. But we were lucky enough to score a quick chat with Carol about Palm Royale, about her old TV show, about her old friend Bob Newhart, recently passed away, the great 91-year-old and still so vivacious Carol Burnett.
It's nice to see you. Thank you.
It's always wonderful to see you. We send you so much love from Chicago. It's been such a pleasure to be with you and talk with you whenever you've been here and through the years. And congratulations on your latest Emmy Award. How about that?
I know. I'm very, very excited. And I was surprised at the nomination this time, too. So.
Oh, I'm not at all. Norma Delacorte is such a fantastic character. I'm not one bit surprised that you were nominated. Is it kind of old hat now after you've won so many Emmy Awards? You know, is it like, oh, that's nice?
No, I'm not that jaded. Not that jaded. I was absolutely, honest to God, gobsmacked at the nomination because throughout most of Palm Royale, I was in bed asleep. Yeah. Like, okay. Getting nominated for being in a coma is kind of funny.
There are times, though, when you are Norma in Palm Royale.
Yeah.
That reminds me so much of some of the characters that you used to do on your old variety show. Do you draw from that when you do Norma now?
Not really, no. I you know, you're going to be who you are no matter who you're playing, for the most part. There are people like movie stars. When I grew up, Cary Grant was always Cary Grant, even though he was different people. Jimmy Stewart, there was always that core of you knew who they were. And I think that's part of, I'm like that, I think. You know, the people remember or think that they know Carol, even though I might be playing something serious or something really ridiculous. There's always that core of who you really are inside. It shows, I guess.
Yeah. Talk to me a little about season 2 now for Palm Royale. I know you can't give us any good, you know, super secrets or anything like that, but.
No, I can't because I haven't read anything. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I can't wait to see who, you know, it ended, the first season ended where I was not Norma Delacorte. I was this somebody named Agnes. So how did that happen? I don't know. So I can't wait to see the second season because I'm as much in the dark as you are.
Yeah, it's just so great, though, isn't it? The writing is so great. And the actors around you, especially Kristen Wiig.
I mean,
she is the new Carol Burnett, in my opinion. But you two together are amazing.
We really have chemistry. I know that. And I was so happy that I had so many scenes with her. And we had a good time. They were all so wonderful. I mean, you know, when they called me and asked me to do this role, all they had to do was tell me who was in it. Kristen Wiig, Allison Janney, Laura Dern, Ricky Martin, Leslie Bibb, Josh Lu, on and on. I said, I'm in. I don't care what you want me to do. And then I read the script and then I loved it even more, you know, but Allison and I kind of knew each other ahead of time. And do you Wordle? Do you know what Wordle is?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The game. Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Allison and I Wordle every morning.
Oh, okay. All yeah. right. So you had that connection.
Had that connection, yeah.
With Kristen, does she remind you of any of the superstars with which you have worked through the years? Does she have the kind of comedic ability or timing?
You know, had the timing been different or we'd been different ages or what, if I'd had my show and she was around then, of course, she was a baby, you know, I would have had her be a regular guest. you know, because she can do it all. And I mean, that last scene when she has a nervous breakdown in the final episode.
Yeah.
That was a masterclass in acting. And she had to do that all day, kept doing it over and over and over for different camera angles or whatever. And she never missed a beat. I was absolutely in awe of her.
You must hear all the time how much people still love watching the reruns of your variety show. I would be one of those people that I do watch it just about every day and laugh my head off, even though I know the lines, I know what's about to happen. It is so classic. Is that something that comes up all the time for you?
Well, I have some news. Do you ever watch TCM, the old movies?
Of course.
The classic movies? Well, I'm hooked on it. So, because I was raised going to those movies with my brother, you know, so I remember a whole bunch of them. So I met Dave Karger, who is one of the hosts of TCM a few weeks ago at a function. And my husband, we were talking to him. My husband said, you know, Carol, Carol and I have an idea. And he said, what is it? I said that Carol would come on TCM and talk to Dave Karger, and they would show, for instance, the full movie of Mildred Pierce, say, with Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
Then he'd come to me, and I'd be talking to Dave. Then we show the takeoff that I did on my show. They bought the idea, so we're going to show Mildred Pierce, Gone with the Wind, Double Indemnity, Stolen Life with Betty Davis did, The Heiress. That they picked six or seven of the takeoffs, and they're going to show the full movie and then our satire on it. Which,
do you know when that will be?
I think they're going to show it in December.
Okay, well, we'll keep it. What a fantastic idea.
Funny idea.
Absolutely can't wait for that. Carol, before they chase me out of here, I wonder if I could just get a few words from you about your old pal, Bob Newhart. He was very, very beloved by us here in Chicago. Yeah. I know he was on your show. You guys were part of that legendary Saturday Night lineup.
We were, but Bob and I worked together even before that on a CBS show in the early 60s called The Entertainers. And he was on that show. It was Bob and me and Dom DeLuise and Katerina Valente. It didn't last very long, but that's how I really got to know Bob and his wife, Jenny, who was wonderful. And I know their kids, he was one of a kind and so sweet. So, there wasn't any kind of conceit about him at all. He was just who you would hope he would be. He was so wonderful.
Yeah, he was very, very special to all of us as well. It's wonderful to see you. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination and all. And I hope, we can get to see you in person sometime soon. We love you so much. Thank you, Carol.
I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. Love it.
I'm so glad we had this talk.
We have to stick around for Peter Greenberg's show. He was coming back from Los Angeles the other day. And, I'm in my little seat trying to occupy myself. The guy sitting next to me, middle seat, whips off his shoes and socks. That should be illegal. They should just land the plane when somebody does that. Don't need to see any feet on the dirty carpet. Ugh. What do you do about that, Peter Greenberg? Anywho, it's time for Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And today we're going to get into some summer desserts on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday. I'm going to be doing a peach cobbler. The peaches, the nectarines are so great right now. Stone fruits are just so fantastic right now. You got to gobble them up, you know, as much as you can. Use them as much as you can. And, you know, a peach cobbler is great. Peach crumbles are great. Any kind of, just, you take a peach, cut it in half, take the pit out, put a little sugar in, you know, in the middle, throw it on the grill, indirect heat, warm that baby up, and then put a little scoop of ice cream in there. That's a fantastic dessert. I love grilled fruit. I love grilled pineapple. I love taking apples and, you know, coring those, cutting them in half, coring them, putting them on the grill till they get nice and beautiful, soft, little ice cream in there. That's a good dessert. But I'm going to do a peach cobbler in a cast iron pan. This is great to serve at a party. You can do it on the grill. You can do it inside if you want to. Who wants to turn their oven on this time of year? But you can do it right on the grill, indirect heat. You just get the grill up to about 350 degrees Fahrenheit. But what you do is you get probably about 8 peaches or nectarines, of course. You can use those. You can do this with strawberries. You can do this with blueberries. I mean, you can take your pick of fruits, but I'm going to do it with peaches because it's a peachy time of year. Take the peaches, cut them in half, take the pits out, leave the skins on, and cut them into bite-sized pieces until you have a pretty nice-sized bowl full of them. Now, if, you know, sometimes when you go to the store and the peaches are like rocks and it takes forever for them to ripen, or sometimes they come out a little mealy, and you don't want to take a chance, you can use canned peaches, canned or frozen peaches, with this recipe as well. I would say that you probably want about 3 cups of peaches. So what would that be? Maybe 2 of the big, you know, those 28-ounce cans. Take the peaches, drain them real well, cut them into bite-sized pieces. Same thing with frozen. You know, do the same kind of thing. Drain them, though, so your cobbler is not going to be super, you know, watery, messy, because you want some consistency. But either way, once you've got the peaches, either fresh, frozen, or canned, put those in a dish and into which you will mix some light brown sugar. You will mix some vanilla extract, about half a tablespoon of vanilla extract. Then in a separate dish, you know, mix those up real good. In a separate bowl, put some cornstarch. I'm going to put this recipe up on the web, by the way, so you can get the exact proportions. But take some cornstarch, about 3 tablespoons, a couple of tablespoons of nice, really good quality cinnamon, maybe about a half a teaspoon of nutmeg. Mix that up together. Just set that aside for now. But what you're going to do is take you've got that peach mixture. Now add that to the dry ingredients, the cornstarch, cinnamon, and the nutmeg. And then just mix that all together. Let that sit for half an hour. You know, something like that. Let the flavors kind of incorporate themselves. In the bottom of a cast iron skillet, like maybe a 10-inch cast iron skillet, give it a good buttering. Just, you know, get the bottom, get all the sides. Don't be cheesy with the butter. You know, give it a good spread. And then once you've got that done, add the peach mixture, including all of the juices that are a part of that. Okay, so now you've got the cast iron pan, you've got the peach mixture inside of it, and now what I want you to do is make a little bisquick, like a little biscuit mixture, and we're going to dabble that on top. So get yourself a box of bisquick. Use the box ingredients, make yourself a bowl of the batter and just take like a tablespoon and put it on top of the peach mixture. Don't cover it entirely because you want to be able to see the peaches in there. But just, you know, dabble that biscuit mixture throughout. And then put that on your grill that you had preheated or in your oven, 350 degrees, and leave it in there for about a half an hour. The peach juices are going to be bubbling. The biscuit topping is going to get, you know, start to get a little brown. If it gets too brown, put some aluminum foil on top of it to, you know, so it doesn't burn up. But about a half an hour at 350 degrees is where you want to go with that. Now, you know, it's going to be very, very hot. Oh, indirect heat, by the way, if you're doing it on an outside grill. You don't want flames directly underneath it. You want the flames on either side of the cast iron pan. You know, get your oven mitt, you know, set it aside, let it cool off a little bit. It's going to be super, super hot. And you've got, I'm telling you, you're going to have one of the great summertime desserts of all time. This peach cobbler mixture is fantastic. And, of course, you know, a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream goes great on top of there. Maybe some, you know, whipped cream or canned whipped cream. I'm not such a snob that I'm going to say don't ever use canned whipped cream. It's super easy. Same with Cool Whip. It's not the same as starting off with heavy cream and making it yourself. There is a difference, but it sure is not the end of the world and is really super easy. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do on TV this coming Wednesday. I've got some other ideas for summertime desserts. I love using the fresh fruits that are out there right now. I'll share a couple of my recipes. I would love it if you share some of yours. What do you do for nice summertime desserts? 312-981-7200 is my telephone number. Let's share some recipes here. What do you say? 312-981-7200, WGN. All right, it's 12:50. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN, now Sunday afternoon. But here we go on our Food Time show, getting some very interesting recipes in here for summertime dessert recipes. That's what we're looking for. And somebody texted in that their all-time favorite summertime dessert is strawberry shortcake. Boy, I got to go along with that. That is, you know, fantastic. Whether you make your they say that they make their own shortcakes, which is great. But, you know, just taking the store-boughts or maybe a piece of pound cake. What I've done not too long ago is I bought myself just a regular, like Sara Lee, you know, frozen pound cake, put a little butter on each side and threw it on the grill, toasted it up a little bit, let it cool, and then put in a bowl the pound cake, some fresh strawberries, you know, clean cut. I may have put a little sugar in it. I think I probably did. And then some whipped cream on top of it. Super simple, super easy. A great suggestion. I appreciate that. Here is the 815 area code. Taking my recipe and changing it a little bit. That's okay. The recipe that I gave for the peach cobbler said that the half teaspoon of nutmeg is too much. Quarter teaspoon is better. Well, you know, do it to your own taste, of course. I didn't think a half was too much myself. I don't think it's overpowering. But, you know, if you like using a quarter teaspoon better, more power to you. I love when people modify the recipes, and you know, they make it their own. Here's another suggestion. I've been wanting to do this. I never actually have, but I'm going to give this a try. An apple pie egg roll made in the air fryer. This is a fantastic idea. By the way, if you want to call in or text in a suggestion, favorite dessert, summertime dessert, 312-981-7200. Apple pie egg rolls in the air fryer. All right? And they say what they do is they take some Honeycrisp apples, core them, of course, dice them. I think if I was going to do this, I probably would peel them as well. Although, you know, some people do and some people don't. I think I would peel them. You take the apples, some brown sugar, some white sugar, some cinnamon would go in there. Again, I would keep the dry ingredients separate. Keep the sugars, the cinnamon, cornstarch that holds everything together, you know, gelatinizes it a little bit, and put all of that, mix all of that together with the apples that you have taken first and put in a pan with some butter and soften the apples up a little bit. So you're going to soften the apples up a little bit. Then you're going to add all of the other ingredients, the cinnamon, the brown sugar, the white sugar, the cornstarch. I think I would put the juice of maybe like a half a lemon in there as well, just to balance things off a little bit. But anyway, mix all of that together, set it aside, let it cool, and then get some egg roll wrappers. You can find these anywhere in the grocery store these days. Usually the egg roll wrappers are in the produce department. That's probably where you're going to find them. But you'll take your egg roll wrapper. You will take like a tablespoon of the apple mixture and put it right in the middle of the egg roll wrapper. And then, kind of bring one end over, flip one end over, take the two sides and flip those over, and give it a good roll until the whole thing is sealed very carefully. It might take a little practice with a couple of egg rolls if you've never done it before. But what you're going to do is put it seam side down so it holds together. You can take a little water along the edges of the egg roll wrapper so it sticks together. That acts sort of as the glue to hold it all together. So you get all these egg rolls with the apple mixture in it, and take a little vegetable oil and brush it, or a cooking spray and brush it. And then this recipe calls for putting it in the air fryer. I mean, you can deep fry them if you want to. Who wants to do that in hot summer weather? But if you've got yourself an air fryer, you put them in at 350 degrees for 8 to 10 minutes, and you flip them halfway through so all sides get nice and crispy. I kind of like this idea. I've never actually tried it. I've never done the egg rolls in the air fryer with fruit filling. I've done it traditional egg rolls. But this sounds like a fantastic idea. So we'll put some of these recipes up on the web. Thank you for your suggestions. We'll wrap things up when we come right back. See you tomorrow morning between 8 and 8:30 on Bob Surratt Show and on the WGN TV Morning News as well.